I think there's a little favoritism going on with some of the men. That's just my opinion. Jealous. I do want to announce to all of our men that we are having our Ground Zero men's meeting next Saturday morning. Our planning team is going to fix an awesome breakfast. It's going to be outside and going to be cooked on our new griddle. And so we encourage you men to come. We're going to have a very unique time together. We're going to have worship, acoustic worship. We're going to have some very unique devotionals and conversation and prayer. So men, I encourage you to come. I know your life can be busy. I got a wedding to do on Saturday, but I can make time for the men's meeting. And I'm going to encourage you to make time for the men's meeting here at the church. It'll be outside. Thank you, sir. I heard something fall. And be a part of the Ground Zero Men's Ministry. You can't get fully connected unless you show up. Amen? Amen. Come on, men. Okay? You're up early anyway. All right? So come on and let's have breakfast and let's hear what God has to say to us, men, next Saturday morning. Why did I move the pulpit this morning? Some of you are staring at me. I saw you just watch the pulpit go by. You didn't hear a word I said because you're wondering why I moved the pulpit. Yeah, if you'll just hang on, you'll find out. Stay with me, and you'll know why I moved the pulpit this morning. On Thursday of this week, when I was getting ready to punch the enter button on my computer to send today's outline to Kathy Baker so that you could see it on the screen, and for Eric Bayer to put it on the website, which is there right now for those who are watching online who may want to look at that or you want to go look at the outline after the service. When I was getting ready to do that, God called an audible. But he didn't call one audible, he called two audibles. And he blended those two audibles together and completely did away with the first play, the sermon for today. In football, you'll hear quarterbacks say, kill, kill, kill. They're killing the first play. Well, you know, God's a God of life, so he didn't kill it. He just postponed it. But he blended two audibles that sent me on a journey that God wanted me on to locate one verse of Scripture. And this one verse of Scripture doesn't seem important when you consider that it's a part of a story that covers several chapters. And there's a lot that happened before the verse and a lot that happened after the verse. But God began to pull me down to one verse. Because in this one verse, God wants to bring us back as a church, back to the seat of something, back to the core of something that is very important to him and is very important to the church. God wants the church to come back to something so that God's power of deliverance can be on display more in his church. And who's the church? You are. And God began to speak to me that my church has got to come back to something. They want my power. They want my deliverance. They want it to be on display, but they're far from something. When I land on this verse of Scripture, I could preach before it and after it a dozen other sermons just on this one story. But God wants us to land on one verse of Scripture, not talk about what it's connected to, mention some things before it, but to land heavily upon this one verse of Scripture. Now I'm going to ask you to do something for just a moment. Put all your devices down, and if you have to, turn them face down so that you're not distracted. And I want you to prepare your hearts and your minds to hear truth today of where God needs his church to go. For all of you online, I'm going to ask you to do the same thing. Put your devices down, turn them face down if you have to. Unless you're watching me on your device. And I'm going to ask you online, if you can, to stand. I'm going to ask everyone in here to stand as we read the Word of God. And this verse that I'm about to quote is not the verse, but it is a verse that opens the door to where we're going. It's found in Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. You need to underline to walk humbly with your God. Let us pray. Father, I come to you today. This is a full redirect from you. Not that the message that was prepared was wrong. It's just not in season yet. This is your message in this season. So Lord, give us a heart and a mind to submit to the calling of the Spirit of God to come back to something so valuable and so core in the Christian walk. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The year is 701 BC. Assyria is the greatest nation and army of its time. And this nation is led by King Sennacherib. Now, the king has become full of himself. He has become arrogant, prideful, boastful, and he rails against the God of heaven because he thinks he's greater. Then Sennacherib has a letter sent to Hezekiah, who at the time is the king over Judah. Now, this letter basically says this: we are the great and mighty Assyrians, and we have proof that we are powerful. Part of Sennacherib's boasting is because of his past dominant victories. And Judah, we're coming after you next. Now Hezekiah is facing a real threat, an enormous threat. I want you to envision for just a moment. You've got to understand how these things work. His army was already on the move. They were already beginning to surround Judah because they've been taking other cities. I want you to envision that this platform is the walls of Judah, the kingdom of Judah. And Hezekiah is in these walls. And he's receiving this letter saying, we're coming after you next. And we have proof how powerful we are. We've already knocked down everybody else. And your army is small compared to ours. And that was the truth. And Hezekiah is facing this. And you just envision this army beginning to surround the kingdom of Judah, where there is no escape. Anybody identify where you wake up one morning and you feel surrounded and there's no escape? This was Hezekiah. But then one of the most dramatic events in the history of the kingdom of Judah takes place. And let's read that. In 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 35 and 36. And that night the angel of the Lord went out and struck down 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. And when the people arose early in the morning, behold, these were all dead bodies. Then Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went home and lived in Nineveh. What caused the power of God's deliverance to be on display where the conqueror is conquered? It all began with a reaction that was the right reaction. And secondly, what set everything in motion completely was the words that Hezekiah spoke out of his mouth through a prayer. It wasn't the body of the prayer which is important, because the prayer was raw and real and honest. But it's what he did in the beginning of the prayer that made the difference. I could preach several messages from the prayer itself down. Several messages before. But God wants us to land on a particular verse of what Hezekiah did and what he said. His reaction, the church has got to get back to what matters most and what should be first. And second, the church has got to re-land in a place of humility. But before we get there, I have a pinned truth as we begin to drill down into what God is saying to us. In all that I have learned, humility most often is the key to God's power being on display. Let me say it this way. What I have really found is that it is the key to seeing God's power on display, where the conqueror is conquered. And the more consistent we are with humility, the more consistent we're going to see the power of God moving in our lives. Humility. In Micah chapter 6, verse 8, we are going to read it again. I want us to get this in our spirit. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness. Let's stop right there. That means we need to be not judgmental, to love truth. Because a lot of times we're being judgmental and there's no truth in what we're doing. We're just being judgmental. That was free. And to love kindness, that means be kind. You don't know what they did to me. Be kind. Watch what God will do. And to walk humbly with your God, that means you cannot be first. You have to walk humbly with your God. Normally, I will have quotes sprinkled sometimes in my sermons. Today, you're going to get a whole bunch of them all at once. My favorite quotes concerning humility. David Wilkerson said, "A humble person is not one who thinks little of himself, hangs his head and says, 'I'm nothing.' Rather, he is the one who depends wholly on the Lord for everything in every circumstance." Every circumstance. Wilson Tozer said, "For the Christian, humility is absolutely indispensable. Without it, there can be no self-knowledge, no repentance, no faith, no salvation." Humility. Vincent DePaul said, "The most powerful weapon to conquer the devil is humility. For as he does not know at all how to employ it, neither does he know how to defend himself from it." Anybody want to defeat the devil tomorrow? How about in the next few moments? Humility. MacArthur said, "Humility is arguably the most essential, all-encompassing virtue of the Christian life." And my favorite quote is from a guy named Corey Smithy. "Humility is the catalyst to seeing the supernatural power of God manifested." Humility. Now let's take a look at what Hezekiah did first after he received the letter. In 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 14, it says, "And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord." He went to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. That could be your prayer room. your sanctuary. It's the front room, second room in the front of our house for me. He took it to the Lord first. I'm preaching. First, he took it to the Lord. How often do our prayers find their foundation in what the enemy is saying and doing around us? Now he takes the letter and he lays it out before the Lord. And it says that's what he did first. You notice he read it and then he runs to the house of the Lord. Now this is a modern Hezekiah. Hezekiah didn't run to Facebook. He didn't run to TikTok. He didn't figure out a short statement he's going to make to throw out on Instagram so everybody will know what's going on and find out what their opinions are. He didn't sit down with a pad and paper and start pinning out how he was going to deal with it in his own self-sufficiency. He ran to the house of the Lord first. He didn't go to his army officers and say, "Come on, guys, we can do this. We can figure this out. I ain't got time to run up to the house of God. We got to figure this out." Didn't run to all of his counselors and get their opinions. Didn't even run to his family. He ran to the only person who has all the knowledge that can give you what you need to see the power of God move in your life. He went to the Lord first. Now I can see Hezekiah stepping back, not kneeling yet, just stepping back and beginning to go through a time of remembrance. Why can I see that? Because I can see myself doing it. Remembering how prideful and arrogant he was when he didn't go to God when Babylon contacted him. Functioned in his own self-sufficiency and pride. Didn't think he need to take anything to God. You know, we need to take everything to God. I'm going to say it again. Everything. Whether you end your day in prayer, or you begin your day in prayer, or if it's in the middle of the day, the middle of the afternoon, you need to be bringing everything to the Father. He wants to talk to you about stuff. But I got it all figured out. He likes to talk to you about the stuff you think you've got figured out. And I can see him going, "Oh my." Remembering when he didn't consult God and he had the Babylonians in and was foolish enough to show them all the treasuries of the house would set things in motion. He's remembering when he didn't obey the words of the prophet, which to them was like how we see the word today to them, to the kings. He didn't obey. Didn't do. Thought he knew better. Doesn't need it. I don't need to go to prayer about everything. I don't need to go to the word. I don't need. Are y'all with me? I don't need. But I want God's power to be on display. I don't need. Unless things aren't going well. Come on. I don't need all this. I can see him remembering the mistakes. I can see him remembering how God had become secondary in so many things. Oh, God's important, but not at first. Not at first. He's important, but after I do what I want to do first, how I want to go about it. I'm going to drill down into this today. God wants to talk to us. So he's got the prayer. He spread it out before God, and he's done the first thing that he should do first. He ran to the house of God first and communicated with God first. You read in some scriptures where Nehemiah is going before the king, and if the king raised his scepter, he would have died, and he took a risk and went to the king. And it's real funny when the king said, "Oh, what's wrong with you, Hezekiah?" Because you're not supposed to come in front of the king with your countenance down. And Hezekiah said, "And I prayed to the Lord of God." We forget to just stop for a few seconds before the next step and just say, "Father, I need your help here. What do you want me to do?" Doesn't have to be a long prayer, but it needs to be a prayer of humility. Because your brain is twirling with what you think you can do. And so many times God wants you to do things a wee bit different. Now, the verse we land on. 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 15. Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, "Lord God of Israel, you sit as king above the cherubim angels, and you alone are the God who rules all the kingdoms on the earth. You made heaven and earth." What is so important about this verse of Scripture? If you study it word for word, check through the study, and know what he's done based on his past mistakes, Hezekiah runs to God first, and Hezekiah humbles himself, and he worships God as the supreme knowledge and being over everything. We have a worship song. It says, "Father, I'm sorry for what I have made it." Worship. It's just something we do, and there's no real worship. If you don't know me, when I'm worshiping, I'm not even aware you're coming and going. Because it's not just words. It's my opportunity to uplift the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the great I Am who can do anything. It's a moment to come in and say, "You know what? This is all about you, and I need to get my act together." Hezekiah doesn't run and do all the things he always did. Hezekiah runs to the house of God, and the first words out of his mouth were not, "Well, God, I'm going to make this promise if you do this. Now, God, I'm about to bring some stuff to you, but I need you to do it in this time frame. Oh, by the way, God, do you see down here with in the letter what he said right here? Let me tell you how I want you to work that out. Come on. I know I ain't the only one." And we may have given just a few moments of lip service to worship, but we're too consumed with what we want. Or we're too consumed with the pressure of the trial around us to even worship God first. Think about being the king of Judah, and the most powerful nation on the earth at that time is coming after you. And he ran to the house of God and worshiped him first. He worshiped him first. It was time for true humility. Honest, open worship to him first. I'm here to tell you that the rest of the body of that prayer would have meant nothing if he had not run to the house of God first and fell down and worshiped the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords for however long it needed to be done. We read words, but I know he worshiped as he spoke those words. So we don't really know how long that took. He begins to praise God in humbleness of heart. He honors him, and he comes to him first, showing reverence, Now, we need to see this. He comes to God first, showing reverence and honor to God. And 185,000 Assyrians are put to death. How do I know that he humbled himself because of that? I've lived long enough in my walk to know because of that. God spoke to the prophet and said, go tell Hezekiah, I have heard his prayer, and they will not enter the city. Because he came to God first and he humbled himself through worship. Then he prayed a very honest and open prayer. But so often we get in the way. While we're in this place, we read words, or we say words, Father, I worship you. You're the great I am. You're the Alpha and Omega. You're the beginning and the end. You're the Lion of Judah. You're the Lily of the Valley. And we're just saying words while I am thinking about the phone call I'm going to make, getting that all formulated in my head, thinking about what I'm going to put out to Facebook, thinking about how I'm going to deal with this. I think so-and-so can help me. I think I get these four people together, and all I'm doing is these words are coming out, but I am not worshiping him. And so I get in the way. Anybody following me? We get in the way. Oh, I'll be glad when I can get through this prayer time. I got to do this prayer time. Man, I need to go fix this thing. I can fix this thing. I just, come on, get through the prayer time. Got to go fix this thing. No, that's where we're making our mistake. We're getting in the way of what? God's power being on display. What about worshiping until you have a breakthrough that you know that you have humbled yourself and you're in his presence? Now make your request. I ain't got time for that. I got to go fix that. That's your problem. You got to go fix it. What if God doesn't want to fix it today? What if God wants to fix it in 3 weeks or 3 months? Because when he gets finished with it, it's done. Are we getting in the way? God spoke these words to me, you'll see on the screen. He said, take my people back to the roadmap to true humility. The roadmap to true humility. Number one, meditate daily on the accurate picture of the cross. Meditate on an accurate picture of the cross. We get really emotional at Easter. We ought to be getting emotional every day concerning the cross. The disciples gathered daily and broke bread and remembered. And remembered. Martin Lloyd-Jones said this, there is only one thing I know of that crushes me to the ground and humiliates me to the dust. And that is to look at the Son of God, especially contemplate the cross. We've heard it said over and over again. Those of you who are new in Christ, you're going to maybe hear it for the first time. But we have got to get to a reality, not a lip service of words, a reality that we are dying to ourselves. And remembering the cross. Now I have to go here because God said to. It's not Easter. But he said to because I need my church to have Easter every day. Anybody hear me? Easter every day. God wants to do powerful things through this church, and I refuse not to obey God so that he can. Isaiah 52:14 says, many people were shocked, astonished, appalled when they saw him. His appearance was so damaged, disfigured, marred, he did not look like a man. Yes, go there. Don't try to push it aside. Go there. We need to go there. His form was so changed they could barely tell he was human. Beyond the sons of man, children of humanity. Couldn't hardly tell he was human. Go there. Get an accurate picture of what Jesus did for you. And then die to yourself at the foot of the cross. The word from the Lord today is the church has got to get back to the foot of the cross and be humbled. So that I can put my power of deliverance on display. Hezekiah worships God. He runs to the house of God. He worships God. Then God speaks to the prophet and tells Hezekiah, tell him I've heard his prayer. Tell him they will not enter the city. And the next thing that happens is 185,000 Assyrians are put to death. Is there some things that need to be put to death around you? Do you need a word from the Lord that I have heard your prayer? It all begins with running to the house of God first. Where is your prayer chambers? Where is that place? And then humbly worshiping God until you've connected. I get up early enough. I'm not here patting myself on the back. I'm telling you, I understand the power of this, and we've all got to get this. I want more. I'm not satisfied. I get up early enough that I spend almost 45 minutes in just worship alone. You may not be able to do that, but could you give him 15 minutes or 20 until you know that you've laid your life down and then make your request known? Could you give him that? Could you? Let me step on a few toes. I'm not a gamer. I don't play games on my phone. Think about how much time you waste doing that. I don't play video games. I'm not saying they're bad, but how much time of that is wasting on time you could spend with God? What about all the television programs? Rochelle will tell you I don't watch a lot of television. Is it bad? I didn't say it's bad. Don't you dare walk out the door and say I said it's bad. What I'm saying is whatever's robbing you of time with the Father so that you can spend quality time in worship with Him, so that you can humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, so that you can see God's power of deliverance on display, do you think it would be worth cutting some things out? That's all in your world. I'm not going to be looking over your shoulder. I'm sharing my life to give you an understanding of the importance of worship. That's why we should be here when worship starts. But I know some of us just can't be. It's just not going to happen. Because there's things you got to do before you get here. But if there's not things, I'm going to strongly encourage you. Why not begin Sunday in that place of dying to self in worship? It's important. God wants us back to the foot of the cross. Number two, our first thought of the day should express our dependence upon God and our need for Him. It is so easy to charge into our day with our own self-sufficiency and pride of our own abilities and not give God space unless things are not going well in our day. I've said this before, I'm going to keep saying it until it connects and helps you. Before I roll out of bed, I'm already communing with God, talking to Him about the day. Oh, I've got plans, but I'm not even focused. I just tell the Father, it's your day. You want to change things. You want to make things different. You want to change my schedule. I'm good with that. I just want your will to be done and you to be in control of my life. So I give this day to you. And as soon as my feet hit the ground, Father, I want to be led of you. So many of us are so consumed with the thoughts of the day, we haven't given God any space because I got to go do what I want to do, and we forgot, what does God want us to do? Well, I've got a job, I know, but what does God want you to do on the job? Well, how about give the first of the day to Him and let Him lead you through that day? And maybe the job situation changes radically because you're following Him and not yourself. Are anybody with me? I'm just trying to help you. And I'm not, if you're feeling conviction, good. If you're feeling condemnation, the devil's talking to you and you need to cast that off. One more time. Micah 6:8. He has told you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. I've been telling Rochelle for several days, pray for me. I said, I got a word from God, and it's not an easy one. It's a difficult word. But I have to obey God. I have to obey God. My last pinned truth is this, and it's personal, something I pinned to myself that I'm going to share with you today, some time ago, long time ago. Pause and consider this, Corey. Today you could not exist, draw a single breath apart from God's sustaining mercies. Truth? Again, truth? We should be giving Him our all in worship. My final statement this morning is this. For a Christian, we have a choice. One that shapes our prayers. Me in control or God in control? We must cultivate true humility in our life. Our prayers depend on it. I'm going to say that again. We must cultivate true humility in our life. Our prayers depend on it. We're making too many mistakes after we get off our knees in prayer because we're going and doing our thing and have not heard from God yet. Amen? We must cultivate true humility in our life. Our prayers depend on it. As for the cross, it's the ugliest, most violent, most hellish place in the world. Yet, it's the most beautiful, most peaceful, the most heavenly. That's where we must go each day. Let me insert this. When was the last time you walked into your prayer room and considered the cross? Where pride and much more are crushed, and a divine kind of humility from above takes its place. And then the church begins to see more of the power of God's deliverance on display. Would you stand? I'm going to ask a simple question, not because I'm looking for a reaction, not because I want it to look cool online. I am wanting today for us, the church, to make a commitment that we, the church, are going to cultivate the humility that's going to see the power of God's deliverance on display in America. You should have been shouting on that one. Unless you just don't believe America needs it. America needs it. The church needs it. Your family needs it. Your job needs it. Your finances need it. Are you with me? Would you join me? Because I'm taking my steps forward, your steps this way. Would you join me here and let's join together and let's make a commitment right now to make the cross important again and humble ourselves. Would you join me here in this altar today as the church who wants and desires the power of God's deliverance to be fully and completely on display. To join me here and make a decision to get self out of the way. Hey, let's just be honest. Even if you're very, 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 very quiet, you have one of those personalities People wonder, do you even have a voice? We all have an issue with trying to fix stuff. Come on. In our own self-sufficiency. And we need to be at the foot of the cross every day. Amen? And come to the Father in true humility. You know what? If you'll spend time at the foot of the cross, it won't be long the self will die. As you begin to see what He looked like and what He did. And now, you can worship Him with a true heart. And then when you make your request known, I expect Him to say, I heard your prayer. The enemy will not enter your house. Come on. Father, as we come here today, as we gather in this altar today, as you're calling your church here today in person, those online who are watching, God, you are calling us back to the cross. The cross represents true humility because Jesus humbled Himself and gave up His life for ours. And we should do the same every day. And so, Father, we come to You today and we repent of our own self-sufficiencies, our own pride, our own arrogance, our own, Father, just discounting the importance of how we should come before You. Doing exactly what the song says, that we've just made it something that's not real anymore. And we're sorry for what we've made it. The God that we run to You first. Oh, You may lead us to make some phone calls, to pin some stuff down. You may even lead us to put out a prayer on Facebook. But if we do it, we've done it through Your leading and not our own. So, Father, today we submit ourselves before You. And Father, as I see You on that cross, I don't see much but just a torn human being. And today, we repent and come back to the cross of humility and true worship to the God of heaven who so desires for His power of deliverance to be on display. And we thank You, Father, as we move from this place today, our next steps are the right steps. And we begin to hear the testimonies throughout this house of the power of God's deliverance on display. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're a guest with us today, I want to encourage you to fill out our connection card. Fill out as much as you want. Please turn it into the Connection Center. We promise you we don't make lots of phone calls and emails. We would like to connect with you. But it is so good to see everybody today. And it's so good to know that God is about to show up. Amen. You're dismissed.